Hello, I'm Joe Mellis, and welcome to episode 87 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors. And not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. So here we are recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, August 15th, 2023. Looking back on the first league match of the campaign this year at Pittodrie against Celtic and ahead to the next game versus Stirling Albion in the Viaplay Cup on Friday evening. But first, as I say, to Pittodrie on Sunday, where the champion Celtic arrived for a lunchtime kickoff, which ended in a 3-1 defeat for the Dons. The scoreline, perhaps a little harsh, I reckon. Your thoughts, Andrew?
I think first and foremost, you've got to say it was a good advert for Scottish football going out at lunchtime on Sunday on Sky. All the ingredients of a typical Scottish game there. Good play, not so good play, mistakes. Aggression from both sides that never spilled over. A great atmosphere built up by a full house at Pittodrie. And I think you're possibly right saying there that the scoreline flattered Celtic, John. I think Celtic over the piece were probably the better side. If you go purely by statistics, it would appear that Celtic were the better side. But I thought Aberdeen gave a very good account of themselves. So there were plenty of positives to be taken from the game. And it's one of those you come away from thinking, okay, we'll get beat. See, if we play like that every week, we'll do far better than we did last season. So, as I say, good things that you can build on. And you look at every goal and you can pick a hole in it as to why it was scored. Somebody's made an error somewhere along the line. But the second goal that Celtic scored was such a disappointment, particularly after getting back into the game. But credit to Aberdeen, they didn't let their heads go down. They struggled a bit in the first 20 minutes, I thought, in the second half, but Celtic couldn't really impose themselves on the game. Aberdeen came back into it. Leighton Clarkson came very, very close. But there was more good things than bad, I felt, about the Aberdeen performance. So we move on.
Absolutely. It was the third goal which burst the bubble, really, Dave. Up until that point, we probably looked the likelier team to score next. But when it went the other way, that kind of just sort of knocked the stuffing out of us, didn't it?
Yeah, and at 1-1, you're absolutely right. I thought we were going to take this game and be the next to score. But it was Nicky Devlin held his hands up. It was a poor mistake, but it didn't affect his game. He had a very good game overall. That aside, but no, it was very much the turning point. And I didn't think Celtic were playing as well as they can do. I watched them against Ross County the week before, and they're still fitting into the Rodgers way of operating. And defensively, they didn't look 100% as we showed with the goal. And as I say, I think the third goal was so important, and if we'd got it, it might have been a different story, but that was certainly the turning point for me.
I thought we looked at a couple of players short, Andrew, which is no surprise, really. I mean, whether they're already in the building, in the club or not, I don't know, but I reckon we could use some composure in defence with, you know, the ability to thread a pass to start a counter-attack. And in midfield, that sort of Ilbu Ramadani-shaped hole became a little evident at times, I thought, as well. It's not as simple as buying players, you know, off the peg, but do we have the answer to some of these issues in-house already? And where do you think we might need to strengthen in terms of depth of cover?
Well, there has been a signing made this week, as we saw yesterday. James McGarry, Jimmy, Jimbo, Magaza, whatever name he's going to be known as.
All of the above.
Yes, indeed. I thought he gave a very good interview with Mal. Sounds a very confident guy. Obviously comes from a good football background, his dad having played 80-odd times for New Zealand, and knowing the sporting ethos that males are brought up with in New Zealand, it is win. There's no such thing as second place in New Zealand. You go out there to win. So I think he'll be a good addition to the squad. I thought, he'll come in left wing back with, potentially, if Johnny Hayes is going to be out for any length of time, then you would think he's going to slot into that place. He can play left-sided central defence. I have to say, I thought Jack McKenzie did very well once again on Sunday there. Jack himself said in his post-match interview that he's still learning the position, but Jack's the type of boy that just loves defending. I don't think he's got any great aspirations of being Roberto Carlos and going bombing forward and shelling things in from 35 yards. But give him a one-to-one challenge, and Jack relishes that. So I think there's a bit of strength there. You mentioned a bit of composure, a bit of passing ability coming out from the back. I think once he gets into the speed of the game, I think Big Ruby will be able to do that. I think he could, yeah. I think he looks a decent technical player. I think he's got a range of passing, having looked at some of the YouTube clips, but there again, YouTube clips are only ever of the very good bits that a player has produced. You never get, here's my showreel of absolute calamities.
Yeah.
So I thought he looked far more composed there on Sunday against very difficult opposition. Not particularly big opposition height-wise, but extremely fast and you know, good in terms of positional play. Furuhashi, Maeda, Bada, all very difficult to play against. But I thought he showed, as I say, good composure, because I did kind of wonder when I saw him down at Livingston, he went steaming in a tackle, got booked half an hour into the game, and then he clattered Bruce Anderson, although it was a 50-50 and it was both players going for the ball and it was an unfortunate collision. But you just thought, oh my goodness, referees are going to be watching this and they're going to be looking out for him. But I don't recall him committing any fouls that were anything like noteworthy on Sunday. So I think he could do a job in there. But Barry himself has said, you know, he knew that McGarry was coming in. And he still said, we've got three or four that we're looking to bring in. So I think certainly that midfield holding position that Ramadani played certainly looks to be one, because that frees up Graham Shinney to bomb around all over the place if he wants to. I think Graham is a little bit stifled at the moment because he doesn't have Ramadani alongside him and maybe doesn't have the same trust in Dante Polvara that he had in the more experienced Albanian. I think one thing that did slightly concern me on Sunday was the lack of changes made from the bench. We only saw Esther Sokler come on. We didn't see any of the other subs. Now, is that Barry saying to the board, look, I haven't got a strong enough squad, I can't throw these boys on in a game like this? Or are some of these players maybe not 100% fit and not able to be thrown in? I don't know. Barry sees them in training every day. He'll have his own thoughts on why he didn't use the subs, but that did, to me, kind of suggest that there was a wee bit of, I'm not sure about putting these boys on.
Well, we'll come on to fitness in a second, because there was another player that I thought was maybe slightly lacking. But in terms of the substitutions that were made, as you say, I mean, I turned around to you when Esther Sokler came on and said he wouldn't play him and Miofsky at the same time, would he? Because the more obvious change, I think, to a lot of fans would have been to bring on someone like Vicente Bazayan, and you know, bring him on possibly for Shaden Morris, who was kind of fading at that point anyway, and just let him go and have a run at the Celtic defence. But you know, as you say, we're not seeing him every day. We also don't have the experience of Barry. I'm sort of backing away from that comment, even though I've just made it. But you get the idea that, as you say, he's maybe not entirely confident in the squad, the depth of it that he has. He did say he liked the look of Dante Polvara and Shaden Morris the minute he saw them, and each certainly getting the chance with the first team, at least for now. How do you think they did, Dave?
Well, like Shaden Morris, first of all, I thought that was his first half. I thought that was his best game that I've seen him in an Aberdeen shirt, because it kind of flattered to deceive in my eyes previously. You know, there wasn't really an end product, but he was certainly looked a lot more sharp and confident, as I say, particularly in the first half. So, and Dante Polvara, as I mentioned last week, I think it looks a totally different proposition from the Dante Polvara that we saw first time round. Although I think, you know, he's still, I think what Andrew said, that, you know, with Ramadani away, Graham Shinney probably is feeling a wee bit restricted with having Povara alongside him instead. So, but that'll take time. And Povara does look to be a really good addition this season. And as I say, it must be his cousin that was here first time. He looks a totally different player. Walter Rojas, memory.
Yeah, he's playing for Atlanta now, the cousin. That's where he ended up. He's alongside Ronnie Hernandez. Now, possibly down to the way he plays in terms of, sort of lung-busting high-impact runs, but I thought Duke wilted a little towards the end of his time on the park. Great for the run and the cross for the goal for Miovski, but he looked a little bit lacklustre as the game continued, Andrew. It took me back to when he started last season, and he did take a good few games before he was fit enough to last the 90. Do you remember Jim Goodwin saying, oh yeah, he's not got 90 in him at the moment, we're only going to put him on for 60, 70. Do you think it's going to be the same this year?
It shouldn't be. When you think back to last year, he didn't really have a pre-season with Aberdeen. He's had that this season. I think it was just, he was up against a pretty solid opponent in Tony Ralston, particularly first half. There was a moment in the first half when he absolutely left Callum McGregor wondering where he had disappeared to. So he's still got that burst of pace. It was an extremely hot day. Celtic were mumping and moaning that the pitch was too dry, so it was probably not quite like running through quicksand, but probably quite taking a lot out of you physically, running at full tilt in that game. I think he's maybe just a slightly slow starter. I mean, nobody is right bang up to what you'd expect them to be 3 months into the season just yet. So I don't think we should be worrying about it.
No.
It was interesting that Sokolar and Ramadani were both on the pitch at the same time because they almost look like identicals, don't they?
Sokolar and Miovski,
They do look so similar. They're both predominantly left-footed. They're both running pretty much the same way. I think they've been coached in the same way, judging by the way they move around and such like. I think Duke will come. Duke will come right. Don't worry about that. Ironically, there was that occasion. You've probably seen the photograph where we've got the synchronised overhead kicks, where both Duke and Miovski tried to get an overhead kick in the first half. Had Duke got the connection rather than Miovski, I think he might have threatened Joe Hart's goal. It's two strikers that just wanted to get in the end of an opportunity. So I think Duke come right. It just needs a bit more games, more game time. There's going to be loads of them coming over the next few weeks. We've got Friday night, and then we've got the big European tie the following Thursday, and then we're into virtually two games a week from there through to.
Yeah, absolutely. By contrast, we were speaking about Duke and you know, maybe not quite being as sharp as we've seen, Dave. I thought Miovski looked pretty good considering he's not long back.
Yeah, and given he's not long back after that pretty horrendous injury in the Simmering game towards the end of last season. No, I do think he looked sharp. He took his goal. Well, Duke did all the hard work, but he took his goal well enough, as you'd expect from a striker of his quality. And, it does look good. I still think, just touched upon the almost non-stop football coming up fairly soon. I think Barry's absolutely right to say we need another three or four signings because as Hibs and Hearts are finding out already this season, Thursday, Sunday is not easy. And we know from past experience, you come back sometimes in the very early hours of a Friday morning and then you've got another away game on the Sunday. It's not a lot of time for never mind the player, not a lot of time for any of us to prepare for the game. It does take a lot out. And I think Barry and the club will have looked at Hart's experience last year and it didn't work for them to try and have two challenges simultaneously. But that's what the fans expect and that's what the club will want to do.
He has also said, though, Dave, I noticed, that they won't spend just for the sake of spending. He wants to have players who are actually in the club and are staying there, but loan players are going to make up some of the equation, as they always do. And he won't rush and just spend money in the market for the sake of getting players through the door, which is quite sensible as well, I would assume, wouldn't it?
It is. Very sensible. And you know, is exactly the way you'd expect Barry to do it. And you know, think back a few years, that comment came out of Derek's mouth quite a lot as well. You know, they are very, there's a lot of parallels to be drawn in the way that Barry operates. And obviously, he's learnt quite a lot from Derek. He's his own man, obviously, but he'll have learnt a lot of the tricks of the trade from his predecessors.
Maybe not all of them. Perhaps not. Just a word on Celtic, that we never stop mentality of Ange Postecoglou, based on this evidence, appears to have gone with him, Andrew. I mean, I'm sure Celtic will improve, as will we, but it feels like they've gone backwards a little bit all the same.
Yeah, in some ways, but Brendan Rodgers will say our results won. Opening day fixture is never easy. And Ross County came and had a go at us. We should have scored more goals. We went to Pittodrie, which is going to be one of the toughest away games in the league, and we won. And we won by a couple of clear goals. But I think Joe Hart said after the game, you know, none of us are robots. We can't play the perfect game of football, and it's taking us time to get the message that the manager has put across to us into our psyches and be able to play the way that he wants us to play. You know, I thought there wasn't the same intensity in the middle of the park in particular that there used to be. Atati didn't start the game. David Turnbull played the first 45, obviously didn't please his manager because he was withdrawn at halftime. Atati came on, only lasted 20 minutes because he picked up an injury. But there's been murmurings about Atati going down south. So whether, you know, that is a bit off-putting for him or not, I don't know. Obviously, there was the big influx of players from the Far East under Postecoglou because he knew that market really well. He's signed well. I mean, there's no getting away from it. You know, you can't say that Maeda and Urahashi were duds by any stretch of the imagination. And the guy Yang, who came on and set up third goal, looked quite a decent player as well when he came on. But there just didn't seem to be that same relentless drive from Celtic that we often saw in the past. I mean, you spoke to me about one of the games, which was pre-Postecoglou, when Celtic came up and it was billed as, you know, the big Friday night chance between Scotland's top two. We're 3-0 down within 10 minutes. Completely dead and buried. You'll remember it, Dave. I mean,
we didn't leave a glove.
They just came up and absolutely blew us away. And to be honest, you know, only two league games ago, we were down at Celtic Park and we didn't lay a glove on them and they beat us 5-0. So, you know, that was a lot closer. Now, whether it's Celtic have regressed or Aberdeen have progressed, I prefer to think it's Aberdeen have progressed.
I think it's a bit of both, but, to be fair.
I think there probably is a bit of both, but I say it's so early on in the season that you can't really be getting, you know, overly excited or overly down about what's going on. There's a long, long way still to go. There's going to be quite a number of changes in personnel, playing styles, etc., over the next month and a half, probably. I think... as long as they keep on winning games, you know, nobody's going to point the finger at Celtic and say, no, you're not the team that you used to be. But if they were to start on a poor run of form, then maybe questions would be asked. But early in the day,
I don't think that'll happen. And I also think that across the city that they occupy, the manager there may be out the door come the first Celtic Rangers clash of the season, especially if he loses in Europe tonight. Anyway, enough about them. Next up, Stirling Albion away this coming Friday in the Viaplay League Cup. Is this a chance to bring in a few fresh faces or the opportunity to get some more game time into the first choice team legs, Dave?
I think it has to be the latter because Darvel is still not that long ago in the memory and Barry knows that what the fans would term a weakened team, and then the unthinkable happens again. It would be very difficult for the fans to forgive Barry, so I don't think he's that way inclined. And, you know, Stirling have started off life in League One very well, so they'll be coming full of confidence. Albeit they beat St Johnstone comfortably 4-0 at McDermott Park, although St Johnstone are a bit of a basket case at the moment, it must be said. But I think it's got to be an emphatic win on Friday night, because the excuses for last Sunday, obviously, because of who it was, but there wouldn't be any excuses were we to not do what we're expected to do on Friday.
Yeah, in previous periods of watching the Dons and Cup ties, Andrew, I felt, and all Dons fans know this feeling, the potential for it being a banana skin. I don't sense that with this team and manager, do you?
No, because I think they'll have done their homework in Stirling Albion, and as Dave said, absolutely battered St Johnstone 4-0. Now, it's one thing to go to St Johnstone and win as a League One side, but to go and win 4-0, that indicates a huge gulf between the two teams on that particular day. And all credit to Darren Young, who's done a fantastic job down there at Stirling Albion. And Darren will be fired up for this, because he is desperate to get himself a full-time job as a manager of top-class Scottish side. And quite frankly, it surprises me that nobody has taken a chance on him, because his track record is excellent. And he continues to, do really well at Stirling. When I saw the draw come out, I sent Darren a text and I said, "You'll be really up for this one." He says, "Just as long as it's not 5-0 at halftime like it was last time." And I don't think there's any chance of that. But in terms of banana skin, I think everyone at Pittodrie who endured that awful night at Darvel still has it so fresh in the back of their memory that they will ensure that there's no chance of that occurring. So I can see Aberdeen being totally professional, going down there with as strong a team as they can possibly put out onto the pitch, perhaps with some players on the bench that, in the ideal scenario that you're 3-0 up after an hour, you can throw them on for half an hour to get some minutes into their legs. But I don't think there's any chance that you're going to see what Dave described as, a kind of second string or second choice starting 11 being on show at Forth Bank on Friday night. They're going to treat that game as though it was a cup final against Celtic.
Yeah, because I mean, lots of Dons managers in the past have done that. I mean, it was quite a regular thing for the likes of Jimmy Calderwood to put in the backup goalkeeper, for instance, and give him the cup games every time. I just don't see that happening under Barry's tenure. Let's get on to the score predictor: Stirling Albion versus Aberdeen. Dave,
3-1 Aberdeen.
Andrew,
I'll go 2-0 Aberdeen.
Okay, I'll say 4. Did I say 4 for Celtic as well? Probably did. Let's move on to under-18s next. A debut win against Queen's Park, followed by an SPFL Trust Trophy victory over Broader Rangers, and then a league game away to Dundee United, which ended in a 3-2 victory for Aberdeen. They'll be happy with that, Andrew. Started the season well.
They have started the season well, and it was a hard-fought victory down at Dundee United in St Andrews last week. Goals from Alfie Bavage, Fraser Mackey, and a last-minute winner from Finlay Marshall. After having been a goal down, 2-1 up, then skipper Alfie Stewart gave away a penalty, which he held his hands up. I think he described himself as silly me when he sent me a text to see what had happened. United had a man sent off. It was pretty physical, by all accounts. I spoke to Alfie Bavage on Sunday, and he said, I had about 4 dead legs in the game because of some of the challenges that went in on me. But a great start to the season, and they are the only side in the under-18 league who have 100% record, albeit they've only played 2 games, so they're not top of the table because Celtic have played 4, 1-3, drawn 1. It's certainly promising for the rest of the season that they've got a way to, 2 victories on the road. Bear in mind, 2 sides that I think will do well in that league this season.
Now, next, are they back in SPFL Trust Trophy action?
They are indeed. They're at North Lodge Park, Whitmedden, home of Fermanagh United tonight. There will be an element of disappointment, not only amongst the fans, but also amongst the squad. I'm quite sure that the game is not being played at Pittodrie. But bear in mind that, there's a lot of European football to be played at Pittodrie. There's still, I think, quite a bit of work to be done in the stadium. We saw a lot of changes to it there on Sunday, John.
Yes, absolutely.
But, And the game goes ahead at Fermarton tonight against Peterhead. So that will be a good test for them because Peterhead has started the season well. But I noticed that Ryan Strachan and Jordan Brown said that they might rotate their squad. I think Aberdeen will probably utilise pretty much the same squad that they had up at Brora. So you've got the nucleus of last season's under-18s with some of the guys who have gone out on loan but aren't debarred from playing against Peterhead, likes of Blair McKenzie, Adam Emsley, Dylan Lobin. Then you've got Tom Ritchie probably be in goal. Kieran Nguenya played in this but has since gone to Partick Thistle on loan, so I don't think he'll feature at all. But interestingly enough, Rhys Williams is being touted as being possibly brought back into action tonight. So I'm going to go out to the game and watch it. So it'll be interesting to see how they go against a Peterhead side that 12 months ago you'd have said it was a shoe-in for Aberdeen, but not tonight. I think they'll give the Dons a really stiff test a good game to watch, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, just you mentioned there, Pittodrie, having had a lot of work done. The dugouts obviously have had their seats replaced. There's also, I don't know if you saw this on TV, David, they've also all the way around the track where it used to be that sort of, what do you call it, a red blaze gravel, they've now got AstroTurf there, and it was a better surface than we played on at Livingston the week previous.
Not hard.
Without a word of a lie. Aberdeen Women came through their pre-season fixtures undefeated and launched their league campaign for 23-24 on Sunday afternoon at home to Motherwell. That one finished 3-2 for the Dons as well. That, Dave, I'd argue, marks real progress, doesn't it?
It does. The season got off to a good start. They were 3-0 up. The Dons before Motherwell got two penalties to make the scoreline more respectable. But no, it was a good, solid start. And, the new manager, making his impact felt straight away. So, it's early days. And I said last week, Motherwell at home is a game that we're looking to take all the points from. But it's still very, very encouraging. But, of course, tricky one this weekend.
Yes, their next game on Sunday away to Rangers. That's not going to be easy.
No, and again, they'll give it was due, but realistically, Rangers are going to be odds on favourites for that one, and hopefully Aberdeen make a go of it, and I'm sure they will. I'm sure because the manager won't let them do anything other than that.
Okay, on to Cove Rangers, still looking for their first points of the season upon their return to League One, and they got one against Falkirk on Saturday, but it should have been all three. The equaliser coming in the 6th minute of additional time at the end of the second half, in the lead twice and unable to capitalise, Dave.
Yeah, and it's, if you remember last season, the amount of late goals Cove tended to lose in stoppage time. There was the draw for Partick when their goalkeeper scored, and that was similar. It was well deep into stoppage time. So that's something that Paul will be absolutely desperate to take out of his performances, get rid of from his performances, because it felt like a defeat rather than a draw against one of the favourites for the League One title, although Falkirk every year they're favourites for that League One. So far they've managed in recent history to upset the form group for all the wrong reasons, but it was a start, but it's early days thankfully, but just slightly concerning that Cove should be right up there, the team challenging for a return to the championship, even if it is through the playoffs. But it wasn't the start that of the season that Paul would have wanted. A lot, looking for positives, they're all very narrow games. A 1-0 defeat against Hamilton was very tight, and then obviously the draw on Saturday. But they need to start turning 1 points into 3 points and no points into 1 points, etc. But it's as we said, League One is such a topsy-turvy league. In fact, they all are. The Championship, League One, League Two. I mean, East Fife, everyone's favourites for League Two are bottom at the moment. So, it's very, very difficult to get out of whatever league you're in.
Yeah, Coe's next game away. They don't have to travel far, only to Montrose. Will they fancy themselves there, Dave?
Again, it's going to be very difficult. Montrose at Links Park, a very hard proposition. And I think if they were to get a share of the points from that win, they'd be relatively happy. But obviously, Paul would want to start getting wins on the board.
Repeat ahead, the best possible start with a 3-0 victory over East Fife was followed on Saturday with a match at home to Stenhouse Muir, which ended 0-0. A shame to not be able to continue winning form, but not the worst result. A clean sheet, which they had precious few of last season. In fact, maybe they didn't have any at all, Andrew. You'll tell me in a minute, I'm sure. And two games without a loss, which I don't think they managed at all last season either.
No, I think, the manager's quotes after the game said that they felt that the first half showing in particular deserved, goals, at least to turn the 0-0 into a victory. But I think, the fact that they've started the season, they're still top of the table, because every other, I think Bonnyrigg won on the Saturday, but all the other four games were draws. The previous weekend, there have been three draws out of five games, which, as Dave says, just shows how tight some of these leagues are. Everybody is so evenly matched. And I think the big thing for Peterhead would be getting the two clean sheets, because if you can do that on a regular basis, you're going to win far more than you're going to lose. And it's been a very promising start through the season for the Blue Toon, and they'll be looking to build on that. The start tonight, obviously, against Aberdeen B in the SPFL Trust Trophy. But then they want to keep the momentum going to get the real feel-good factor back into their games, because it must have been so desperately difficult for them last season. Mm. What it was like for us trying to talk about the game, as it was, it was another defeat.
Yeah.
What positives could you take? Well, they managed to keep the scoreline blank for the first 8 minutes this week, but then as soon as the opposition scored, that was it, because you knew Peterhead just didn't score goals. It's a different story this season, and long may that continue.
Yeah, their next league game will be interesting in terms of how far they progress, because they're facing the team which was relegated alongside them, Clyde, away. Have fortunes changed a little since they last met, do you think, Andrew? I mean, you spoke very highly about Peterhead there. How have Clyde fared so far?
I think they've shared the spoils, I think, in both games. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't check. I should have done my homework a wee bit more assiduously, as the dear departed Craig Brown would have told me. Yes, that was the type of word that Craig liked to use. Once a teacher, always a teacher. Uh-huh. I think Peterhead will fancy their chances. I think they beat Clyde last season.
They did.
Spoils with them.
Lost to them as well at one point. So yeah,
I think they did. Yeah,
they did a bit of all three.
It was pretty even, Stevens, between the two, but I just think that there will be a confidence now going through the Peterhead squad. It should be enough today.
Okay. In the Highland League, Saturday's fixtures finished like this. Brechin City 2, Brora Rangers 1. Clackenacudden 2, Devonvale 2. Fraserburgh 1, Bucky Thistle 3. Lossiemouth 1, Fermanagh United 2. Rothes 2, Banks of Dee 2. Tariff United 1, Keith 2. In the Hanley Cup, a couple of fixtures which ended Huntley 1, Inverurie Locos 2, and Wick Academy 0, Nairn County 1. In the league, Bucky moved top on 9 points, Banks of Dee and Fraserburgh just behind on 7. The Hanley sides with two sets of fixtures this week on Wednesday and then again on Saturday. In the juniors, Dave.
Well, the results in the Premier League on Saturday were Bridgerton Thistle 2, Fraserburgh United 0, Cooter 6, Buckenhaven Hearts 2, Dice 3, Rothy Rovers 1, Ellen 3, East End 2, Hermes 4, Colony Park 2, Newmacher 3, Stonywood Parkvale 2, Stonehaven 2, Nairn St Ninian 0, and Sunnybank 6, Maud 1. After a goalless first half, Maud took the lead in that one, and the Sunnybank retorted in emphatic style to win 6-1. So Sunnybank actually topped the table at the moment. There is a full programme tonight in the Premier League. It's East End against Stonehaven. They're all 7 o'clock kickoffs, by the way. Buckenhaven Hearts against Sunnybank. Cooter travel to Colony Park. Fraserburgh United entertain Dice. Newmacher United go to Maud. Rothy Rovers against Hermes. And Stonewood Parkville versus Ellen United.
And also some tennis, Dave.
Yeah, the North Championship is concluded on Saturday. Two great finals. Bruce Strachan, who last won the event in 2012, he won it for the third time against the top seed Nick Rosenzweig, who was the winner in 2016, and the score 6-3, Love 6, 10-4. In the women's final, it was Anik Varty from Blackhall in Edinburgh who beat Amy Hudson from Broughty Ferry 4-6, 6-2, 10-7. So 275 entries last week and a great week of tennis, and the weather was fine.
And that is pretty much it for episode 87 of Pittodrie PS for this week. Remember, we publish every Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Dons' previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show too, we'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.